And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I'm GopherDigest.com's publisher, Ryan Burns. We welcome you back, folks, to another episode of your favorite podcast on Gopher football. So let's get this thing started, Luke.
All right, Ryan, let's outline what we're going to talk about tonight. Obviously, we're going to stick with pretty similar structure that we've had before. We're going to talk a little bit about recruiting in this episode because there was a commitment recently. We will talk to a Kent State beat writer. His name is Steven Means. Then we will talk a little bit about injuries because that seems to be a big thing that's going on right now with this team. They're battling the injury bug a little bit. And then we'll do our regular prediction. So for those of you that are listening, buckle up.
Let's do this. Let's talk a little bit of recruiting. I finally have something to talk about on a podcast that deals with recruiting, so you can imagine how elated I am right now.
Yeah, I can imagine. You must be over the moon.
Yeah, so news came out, I believe it was on Tuesday night?
Yeah.
That Mississippi Junior College offensive lineman Vincent Calhoun went public with his commitment. It was pretty easy to tell after the Billy Glasscock tweet. Vincent Calhoun isn't a guy who is very easy to get in touch with, and it turns out he actually committed on Wednesday of last week. So by the time you're listening to this, probably 9 days ago. So what do you need to know about Vincent Calhoun? What you need to know is that he was Minnesota's top offensive line target, and he had been for months. And albeit, most of this offensive line class had been set in stone since about late May, but Minnesota wanted a guy and that could be a junior college guy that could come in next year and really compete right away and at guard specifically and in the interior of this offensive line with a bunch of guys being gone and Josh Campion, potentially Brian Bobeck, John Christensen, Joe Bjorklund. So you're losing a lot of guys in the interior there. And so what you're gaining in Vincent Calhoun is a guy who's going to come in early. He's going to be here in January, so you will be able to see him in the spring game come April. And what you're getting in Vincent Calhoun is a guy who's 2 years to play two and someone who has a very devastating first punch. And so what I mean by that is, especially on the interior of the offensive line, you're going against these big 1-3 technique defensive tackles who are, usually around 6'4", 280 pounds. Well, Vince is no slouch himself. He is 6'4", 335 pounds. So he's easily probably the biggest guy on this offensive line. But for a guy of his size, if you watch the tape, he's actually pretty athletic and pretty nimble for his size. And his punch, back to what I was trying to explain before I went off a little bit of a tangent there, but his punch is very devastating. He played right tackle last year, and he played left tackle this year for his junior college team. And when you see his initial punch on these defensive ends, there's a few times on his tape where he just knocks him on their keister. I mean, his punch is very powerful in that respect. So I think that, especially with Joe Bjorklund and John Christensen moving on to, greener pastures after graduation here, he's a guy I think that's really going to come in and probably be the starting left guard next year, barring some kind of amazing transformation from Isaac Hayes that I haven't foreseen yet. But he's a guy who, fans should be expecting to play right away.
Yeah, definitely seems to be a good pickup after considering, what they might lose, unless maybe Bobeck gets a medical red shirt and would be able to come back next year. But yeah, definitely seems like a nice pickup, and that pretty much just solidifies this offensive line class, and it's quite the offensive line class.
Yeah, are we going to call this his fifth recruiting class? I'd call it his fourth, even since he got here so late in 2011. But this fourth offensive line class for Matt Limegrover and Jerry Kill is, again, you always want the next recruiting class to be your best class. And I can say, personally, this is my favorite offensive line class. And that's saying something because that 2014 class that signed, the 2015 class that signed last year was pretty good. Mm-hmm. I know that they've, again, if you don't believe me, you should take a look at next year's depth chart because Luke and I were going through this. I don't remember if it was on air or off air, but they're probably going to be the twos on the two deep next year, every single one of them, which is it's exciting because they're that talented, but it's also a little bit at least a little bit leery because they're so young.
Mm-hmm.
But this offensive line class from Sam Schluter and Matt Cagle, Connor Olson, you know, the three best linemen in the state of Minnesota, very athletic group. Deshaun Foster, he's a scout 304 star kid. He's humongous, 6'8", 295 pounds, and he moves extremely well. And then you finish off the class with a solid foundation of Vincent Calhoun, a kid who's going to come in and play right away. He's going to be a junior next season. And someone Minnesota really needs at left guard because looking at the depth chart right now, it's Joe Bjorklund and Josh Campion, two redshirt seniors. Then you also have John Christensen playing there. He's a senior as well. So there's not a ton of experience there behind them. And so you need a guy like Vincent Calhoun to come in and play. And so there's no reason he can't unless, again, one of these younger guys comes up and passes him, which I don't see at this time. So Vincent Calhoun is already on the fast track to being the starting left guard next year. All right, so we are now joined by Mr. Stephen Means from he's one of the lead sports reporters here for the Kent Stater out there in Kent, Ohio. So we're very lucky to have him. He's one of the elite Kent State football minds in America. So we're very, very happy to have him this afternoon. Stephen, how are you?
I'm good, Ryan. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm anxious to learn a little bit more about Kent State football, obviously with the Gophers taking on the Kent State Golden Flashes at 11 o'clock this weekend on BTN. So, Stephen, I know that Kent State started the season with a tough loss to Illinois, losing 52-3, but they did rebound last week against Delaware State, putting up 45 points. So how big of a surprise is it to you for the start of the season for this Kent State team?
Well, the 1-1 start's not really a surprise to me. I knew going into that Illinois game, we were probably going to lose that game. I thought we'd play a little harder, but I knew overall we were going to lose that game. And the same goes for this Delaware State game. I knew we'd win that game. Now, I didn't think we'd hold them to negative 33 total yards, but I knew we could come in there and win that game. So right now, I'm surprised by what they're doing. I think the one thing that has surprised me, though, is the inconsistency in their play. You know, the Illinois game, I didn't think we were going to win, but I did think we put up a fight. We didn't really play well while in the Delaware State game. We played extremely well. So right now, we've just been on, you know, the extreme sides of playing. Let's see if we can keep their consistency up.
Okay, and so, I mean, what have you learned about this team through two games? Is it about, you know, that they haven't played as hard, or what have you expected?
I think that first game, they put in a new offense in the spring. They're running the spread offense now. Don Treadwell is the new offensive coordinator for the team. So I think they were still trying to figure out what can work and what can't. And the same goes to the Delaware State game. We had a couple of mental errors in the game, so we're still trying to figure things out. But I think right now this team needs to just get disciplined. They have a lot of, you know, unforced turnovers, a lot of penalties that they have game in the first two games. If they can cut those down, this can be a really good team, but at the same time, this can be a really awful team if they don't correct those errors in these first two or three weeks of the season.
All right, Stephen, I'm curious. You know, obviously, like you said, they're playing a lot of they're in a spread. And what do you have from them defensively? And what are some guys that stand out?
The two biggest names I've taken away from the first two games. The first one is safety Nate Holley. He's probably Kent State's best defensive player on the team. He leads the team in tackles, and he does a lot for the team. And the other guy is Nate Terhune. He's coming off a big game against Delaware State. He had a fumble recovery. He returned for a touchdown. That's his third career touchdown, his first defensive touchdown. But they don't just use him defensively. They use him offensively in the fake punt situation. So those two guys, Nate Holley and Nate Terhune, those are two guys I'd say look forward to having a big game if Kent State wants to compete in this football game.
Another guy I'm curious about, Stephen, is Terrence Waugh. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but he's a defensive end for Kent State who's got three sacks and three tackles for loss through the Golden Flash's first two games. What have you seen from him?
He's a big guy. You know, he's 6'1", 262 pounds out of Atlanta, Georgia. He's got some speed to him as well. They use him like that. They want him to get in there and disrupt the quarterback, get tackles for loss, get sacks, things like that. He's another guy I would put on that list. Terrence Wall, another guy that we just Monday, a cornerback who I put on that list of guys to watch for. But yeah, he's a defensive end, yes, but he's more of a mix between the defensive end linebacker, where he's got the speed of the linebackers, but then he's got the size maybe of a defensive end with that 262 for a mid-major player.
Okay. Go ahead, Luke.
Okay, Steven, I'm curious, in the Illinois game, since Minnesota will see Illinois later this year, what stood out to you about Illinois?
Honestly, it wasn't a lot with Illinois. Because we didn't play well, we weren't able to get really the best look from Illinois in comparison to what they would do against another Power 5 conference team. Because we didn't play well, and they took advantage of every situation. Illinois, when you're a Power 5 school, you've already got the athleticism over a lot of the mid-major schools. So when you add the fact that Kent State didn't necessarily play well, they had a lot of mental errors and turnovers, Illinois just pretty much dominated us in a way. I don't think they would dominate a Minnesota or a Michigan State or anybody else in the Big Ten the way they dominated us.
Again, we're joined here on the podcast by Mr. Steven Means. He is the lead sports reporter for the Kent Stater, and he's one of the elite Kent State college football minds in all of America, so we're lucky to have him. So, Steven, the next question I have for you is a little bit of a quirky type of one. I looked through and I was researching on Kent State. It appears that Kent State has a field goal kicker, April Goss. She became the second woman to score a point in a major college football game last weekend. What can you tell me about April?
That wasn't just because she was a girl while she got in the game. She's been on this team now for 5 years. She's 50 or senior, and she's worked her way to get onto the field. And Paul Hayes, he said it the week before that he was going to look for an opportunity this season to put her in the game. I didn't think it would come as early as week two. I was thinking more senior night, but they saw an opportunity and they got her in the game. And everyone's just really proud of her on the team. After she kicked the field goal and made it, they kind of held her up like it was the Rudy movie. So she's really just in a whirlwind right now, talking to a lot of reporters, just really enjoying this moment for her.
Good deal. Good deal. All right. So a few more questions for you, and then we'll let you go. So I guess actually one of the last few questions I have is, so what are the keys for Kent State if they're going to beat the Gophers at TCF Bank Stadium on Saturday? Plus, what is your prediction for the Minnesota versus Kent State game and why?
I've got two keys to them beating the Gophers. The first one is penalties and turnovers. As I was saying earlier, if they can stay disciplined and get those mental errors and those penalties out of the way, it helps, along with the turnovers. You can't – the Minnesota is going to score in this game, so you can't give them more opportunities to have the ball and to be in a position to score. You've got to take advantage of the situations that you have. You can, when you get into the red zone, you have to score. You can't leave points out there on the board. You've got to dominate the stats you can dominate, because you're not going to dominate the yards and you're not going to dominate those type of things. And the other key is to learn from the Toledo-Arkansas game. Toledo beat Arkansas this past weekend. And Paul Hayes, he talked about how one of the things they did was they didn't dominate. If you look at the box score, Toledo didn't dominate that game. As a matter of fact, Arkansas dominated that game. But the two stats stuck out for him were the red zone, where they scored when they got into the red zone, and then they won the turnover battle. So those are the two things I'm going to look at. When you're a mid-major school going to get the Power 5 conference, you've got to take advantage of things you can control, because if you do that, you're going to put yourself in a position to win the game. And then overall, I think my prediction would be Kent State's going to lose. Minnesota's going to take the win 35-10 because the Flashes do have a lot of momentum coming into this game with the whole April Goss situation and then the alternate fact that they held a team at negative 33 yards. So they're going to put up some points. I think they're going to make this thing interesting for the first two quarters of the game before the better team starts to show itself.
Great. Again, we can't thank you enough, Steven, and we'll see how your prediction holds up on Saturday. Thanks for joining us.
And thanks for having me, you guys.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about injuries, Ryan. This obviously has been kind of the Achilles heel this so far to this season for this class. Obviously, tight ends stick out as a position where they're really getting hit. Offensive line as well, and even a little bit in the secondary, right? So what do we have on the injury report this week?
Yeah, this is – I've got a couple tweets and a couple questions on Gopher Digest about – for all this talk about Coach Klein, why are there so many injuries? Again, I don't think it's solely on Coach Klein, the strength and conditioning coach in Minnesota that Jerry Kill loves to talk up so much. I think it's more of a, if you look at the records of Minnesota's last two, or the first two teams that played here in the 2015 season, you look back to last season, Kill's talked about it a lot this week, they are 22-4. So they're very good football teams, they're very physical football teams, and Kill has said, in regarding to these injuries, you know, not many teams, and he goes, you know, none at all, can say they've gone against the quality of opponent we have, and it's going to show on your, in your depth and in your injury report, because we're not playing cupcakes. So to me, it's just Minnesota playing the quality of opponent. And if you're playing that, you know, a TCU, a team that's going to be competing for the national championship this year, and a very good Colorado State team who should be a very big factor on the Mountain West, it's just going to show on your team. So, I think the next 2 weeks are crucial for this team to get healthy for the Big Ten season. Again, going against a team like Kent State, they went 2-9 last year, and they lost 52-3 to an Illinois team. You don't need – I mean, if somebody has a nagging injury like a KJ May, I mean, hold them out and let some of these younger receivers get some reps, because this should be a team you should be able to win by a few touchdowns. But looking at the injury report, Ace Rogers and Demaryius Travis, the two safeties, Ace is the starting nickel, and Demaryius is the starting safety. They're both out with injuries. Blake Cashman, a walk-on freshman from Eden Prairie who's been playing on special teams, he's out with an injury. Obviously, John Christensen, the Gopher starting left guard, he's out for possibly 4 weeks. He had knee surgery on Monday, so he's going to be out until probably the bye. I don't know if I can predict him coming back against Nebraska. That puts him right at the 4 week. I'm guessing that Lime Grove is going to want to give him that extra week, that bye week at the 24th to get him ready for Michigan. But regardless, he's out for the game. And then obviously the two tight ends, Duke Onyanwu and Lincoln Plezic, they are both out still potentially for the season. So the good news that you have from the depth chart that came out today is that Brandon Lingen, the sophomore tight end from Wayzata, he is listed as the starter, and Lingen sustained a concussion on that tough hit on the sidelines. He's still going through the concussion protocol. Kill hasn't said for sure if he's going to play yet, but the expectation for me, if he's listed on the depth chart as your starter, is that he's going to play. So that's very good news, especially with this tight end depth that is very much being tested. But, you know, it looks pretty good, you know, considering the quality of opponent. There are five, you know, projected starters coming into the Euro, but that's what you want depth for. So KJ May, for those fans wondering about him, Kill hasn't ruled him in or out yet. He doesn't have a broken rib. He said that today on the radio. He's still just, you know, recovering from whatever the injury is. But I think this is a game you rest him. Again, it's Kent State. You know, so get guys like Melvin Holland, Rashad Still.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even maybe potentially Jeff Jones to some extent, get them some reps.
Right.
So, for the most part, I mean, this team's pretty healthy. For those wondering about Jeff Jones, so Jeff was dealing with a concussion the week leading up to the TCU game. He got a few snaps, but then he sustained an ankle injury last week, and that's why he didn't play against Colorado State. So, for this week, he's listed as a full go. So for those fans craving to see, you know, who, again, I feel like I say this every time I talk about Jeff Jones, can you please temper the expectations for this young man? He's extremely talented. I've seen that in person multiple times. But again, he's basically a true freshman transitioning to a new position who's been battling some injuries. So please don't expect him to be, you know, Melvin Gordon coming out of the bat here. I mean, this would be a perfect showcase for him if he's fully healthy, but temper your expectations. But again, ref KJ and give a guy like Jeff Jones some more reps, so we'll see.
All right, another guy that's maybe coming off injury that we should expect to see, and I'm assuming we're going to see, would be Isaiah Gentry. Do you expect him to play a pretty big role in this game?
Not a huge role, I would say. I believe Kill said today that they're going to have a couple of specific packages for him, that they're not going to play him a ton of reps. So I expect him up for probably two or three series. That's just it. They are trying to ease him back in. He had a significant hamstring injury that kept him out most of camp. in the early part of the season, so they don't want to rush him back too much. They know how essential he is in this deep passing game. So probably only a few series here and there. But I hope they can get him, one-on-one on the outside, and Leitner can connect on what he was doing in all of fall camp. That's been something that's been lacking through two games is the deep ball connection, and that was that's really been Leitner's trademark passes with his accuracy. So we'll see. But I would expect maybe 10 to 12 plays from Isaiah, and if you see him out there, big number 84, I believe, know that they're probably going to be taking a deep shot.
All right, Ryan, let's transition now and talk a little bit about this Kent State game. We had a chance to, talk to Mr. Means and get his insight on Kent State. It doesn't sound like he's terribly optimistic in terms of their ability to upset the Gophers, and, maybe not surprising given their recent history and, the game against Illinois. So what are you expecting to see out of the Gophers? Obviously this is a game they get a chance to maybe work on the struggles they've had in the passing game, or, maybe have a chance for this offensive line to gel a little bit more. What are you expecting to see from an offensive perspective out of this squad?
I'm expecting to see more of the base offense that fans are really expecting to see out of a Matt Limegrover offense. And so what I mean by that is two tight end sets, probably Brandling and Nate Wozniak, Nick Park, and a lot more of Miles Thomas, who really hasn't been a factor at all these first two games. Minnesota's really had to, get out their 2-minute O and their 11 personnel, so just a tight end and a running back with three wide end sets. So we will see, but I'm expecting a lot more base offense. Minnesota trying to get the power running game going. Even though that this offensive line is pretty banged up right now, I think that they still really want to start establishing some of that trademark Minnesota ground and pound game. So that'd be something I'd probably look to see a little bit more of. I also think they're going to try to get Mitch Leitner into a rhythm early on. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be surprised if in the first or second series that you see a lot of short passes, a guy like Eric Carter, Drew Ulatarski, maybe even a Jeff Jones sighting, but I'll believe it when I see it here. But I think they want to get him into a rhythm, a couple of two, three, short intermediate passes to get him going, a couple of runs to Rodney Smith, and then maybe try to set up a play-action deep ball to Isaiah Junge or Rashad Steele to really get some momentum going early in the game, get the crowd behind him. As I believe Darren Wolfson tweeted out, there's over 51,000 tickets that have already been distributed for this game. So it should be a pretty good crowd on hand for the 11 o'clock start. Get the students behind you, get the rest of the crowd behind you, get it to a 17-3 halfway through the second quarter, and then really just feed Rodney Smith. I think this is probably a game you finally get to see true freshman running back Shannon Brooks as well, especially in the second half, because, the team knows what they have in Roderick and Rodney, and they want to keep them healthy, especially with all the injuries they've been dealing with here in the non-conference. So maybe we even get a Berkeley Edwards sighting. I have, for the people wondering and for the people asking me, where has Berkeley Edwards been? That is a very good question. That is a very good question. So I don't think it's injury related. I honestly think that, the running back talent has just surpassed him, and it is what it is. And you can dwell on that, or you can look at it as a positive that Minnesota is out recruited. But again, this would be a good game for he and Shannon Brooks to really take a hold probably halfway through the third quarter and just take it the rest of the way. And I wonder, I'm also curious to see on this offense if a couple of redshirts get burned here, especially if Minnesota tries to go to their twos on the interior side.
Sure.
Is this the game that Tyler Moore finally plays? He really is the backup center. And again, I would say John Christensen would slide over like I've been preaching, but he's out now. And so I think this is really the time where this is probably the game where Tyler Moore gets in. Maybe Isaac Hayes makes an appearance, and maybe Quinn Osland as well. So because Minnesota doesn't have a lot of backup left tackle depth there with Ben Lauer dealing with injuries and Josh Campion dealing, he's still coming back from his concussion, and you probably don't want to throw Jonah Persing in for too much, so you may be seeing some brand new bodies out there, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
All right, and then defensively, obviously this defense is the strength of this team. I'd imagine that we can expect them trying to force turnovers, you know, eliminate the passing game, and probably see a steady dose of like a Steven Richardson wreaking havoc, right?
Yeah, I think Steven Richardson is gonna he's gonna do just fine. I think this is also a game where you see Hank Ekpe and Theron Cochran probably make themselves known, getting maybe a few sacks between them. Scott Ekpe. I mean, there's a bunch of different guys. I think this defense really wants to rotate through. Cody Polk is listed as the starter for this game, even though Everett Williams got. He and Everett split probably 50-50, 60-40, Everett maybe. So Cody Polk is listed as the starter, Mike linebacker. Devondre Campbell is also listed as the starter. So coming off his one-quarter suspension or whatever you want to call it from last game as well. So it's something where I think some of these, especially this is a game where I think I want to rest these secondary guys like Body Calhoun, Murray Johnson, and give guys like, you know, Duke McGee and Craig James and Keontae Harden. I want to give them some reps. This is where Minnesota starts to build some depth. Where if come the Michigan game or the Purdue game, you know, they have some bodies if some more injuries pile up. So I think that this is the game, like I said, where I think the pass rush starts to get going a little bit. These linebackers and these corners and these safeties really start to make their presence known again. This is a Tracy Clay's defense. I don't expect Kent State to score more than 17 points, and if they get to 17, I think it's a garbage touchdown late. So this should be a pretty good win for Minnesota.
All right, and I don't think we can go an episode of this podcast without talking about the quarterback position. And I don't want to really talk so much about Mitch Leidner, but say this does turn into a garbage time game. Who do we expect to maybe see some playing time at quarterback? Would that be Strevler, Parra, or do we see another redshirt burn and see Demery Croft?
Ain't that the question of the day? We are less than 48 hours, and maybe by the time you listen to this, less than 24 hours till kickoff. That's a good question. I think the coaches would like you to believe that it's going to be Chris Strebler taking the majority of the fourth quarter snaps. But, man, I maybe it's the optimist in me that wants to see a little bit of Demery. Again, uh-huh. You're talking to a guy who thinks that this team's best chance to win this season is Mitch Leidner.
Right.
And unless he seriously regresses to something I haven't seen yet, I think he's going to be the starter for this year and probably next. But I just think that, you know, they have to, because it's not Christian. If Leidner goes down, as we've talked about at length on this podcast, if Leidner goes down for more than 2 weeks, it's not going to be Strebler, and this team knows it. So is it going to be Parr or is it going to be Croft? I think that if one of those two plays in the fourth quarter of this game, then you finally get to see a little bit of the tipping of the hand there. Man, that's a tough question, man.
Well, let's leave it as a mystery and find out for ourselves on hopefully find out for ourselves on Saturday. The one thing I wanted to say is, I'm assuming that you noticed that Chris Strebler was in on kick coverage, so I can't imagine that he can play a lot of quarterback if he's going to play kick coverage.
Yeah, but I mean, Joe was adamant in the last 24, 48 hours here that, you know, Chris is a quarterback, and again, I'm not in on the decisions, and I don't always have to understand them. But again, with the tight end depth the issues that you're dealing with here, especially like an HVAC with Langan dealing with a concussion, you'd think that they'd even throw Strebler there for a series or two just to get his feet wet. But I mean, they're adamant about keeping him as the backup as long as Leidner's healthy. So
right.
Again, we'll see. We will see.
All right, let's transition to that that prediction. How do you see this game unfolding, and what's your score prediction?
I will stick with what I predicted here before the season. And I predicted the Gophers win 38-10. I think this should be a pretty convincing win. Again, I think Minnesota's built up the depth. They're coming back home. I don't think it's going to be really an early morning, afternoon stinker from this team. Maybe it's 17-10 in the third quarter and then a couple touchdowns. You know, it's 31-10 halfway through the fourth quarter or something, but I can't foresee Kent State really. Again, this is a team that lost 52-3 to Illinois. Like, Gophers are better than Illinois, and so maybe I want to predict more points.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty comfortable with the number in the 35 to 38 range. And again, I can't see this defense giving up too many big plays to a Kent State team that really hasn't had too many. There's too much talent. There's too much depth at each one of the positions on defense for me to think that even if this offense can't get going for some reason, that the defense struggles. So I'm saying come 2:30 afternoon on your drive home and you're listening to the post-game show on KFAN there, it's an easy 38-10 victory. And my main hope for this weekend, again, a W is a W first and foremost, but I hope that this team can stay healthy. Mm-hmm. That is the number one thing that I'm really looking for and hoping that happens, that there's not another injury to really any of these positions, as Minnesota's depth is already starting to be tested. So if the Gophers can, you know, get a nice win and stay healthy, that's a definite big W for this team heading into Ohio next week.